secretary, and I can remember going as a family to my grandma's pool, and she'd be sitting inside, and she'd be telling me stories about Abby this and Abby that, and all I could think of was, can I please just go to the pool? And how I wish that I had remembered even one of those glorious stories from her. So when my dad got sober, my parents were split. I really hated my father with a passion growing up. I did not know this was a disease. I just thought that he was a thoughtless, selfish, incompetent father, and I just wanted him to die. And I would plan as a little girl how he might die without making a mess that I would have to clean up. And then all of a sudden he got sober. And I had one of those educational variety spiritual experiences when I was at college doing laundry the day before Father's Day in 1975. So that's June, right? And back in those days, we sent things in the mail called letters. And they had stamps on them. And if you wanted something to get to someone really quickly, you had to send it special delivery. So I'm doing laundry on Saturday afternoon, and I'm thinking, oh my God, I have to send another freaking Father's Day card to my father. And it suddenly occurred to me, wait a minute, my father is not the father that I had growing up. He's been very different. He was calling me every Friday just to say, leave me a message on what was called a phone that hung on the wall. Yeah. And if I answered it, I got to talk to him. If I didn't answer it, I didn't get to talk to him. Imagine that. And but I would answer it, and he would just say, I love you, sweetheart. Are you happy? And it just made me so mad because he was not supposed to be saying kind things to him. I had dedicated my life to scowling and being mad at him and hating him. And so I started going with him. My parents were split up. I started going with him to open AA meetings in 1967 in Cincinnati, Ohio, at a place called Oak Street, 405 Oak Street. Anybody out there, Cincinnati? No. And Friday night was an open AA meeting, and I would go every Friday night with him, and he was wise enough to where we both walked in the front door, and he went that way, and I went this way, and there you were. And you remembered my name. You remembered what I was studying in school. It was like I'd never felt so recognized. And so I couldn't wait to get back on Friday nights to go to an open AA meeting with my dad. And mind you, I never told him I was grateful. I always told him, no, I don't want to go. I hate that place. I hate those people. And I just say that in case you have a young person in your life who is telling you that they don't want to go and they hate that place and they hate those folks. I loved you all so much. I just was too prideful to be able to tell my dad. So I went there for 10 years, and I heard you all tell unbelievable stories. You know, and I would go, no way, you couldn't have done that. You know, and I saw the miracle time and time again of the recovery that lives in AA meetings, listening to people tell their stories and what these steps would do. And I knew all the steps, and I knew all the right answers to all the steps. I had so much information, it was scary. So the one thing I didn't get was that I was, at that time, 10 years later, living with an alcoholic who liked to beat me on a daily basis. And the beatings started pretty minimally, you know, just being kicked in the gut, just having, you know, jewelry ripped off my throat, just having hot soup poured on me because there weren't enough carrots in it, you know, those kinds of things that growing up in an alcoholic home, I was used to being poorly treated for human error. And I just thought that was what love looked like. So I went to my first Al-Anon meeting finally. Now, mind you, I've been going to open AA meetings for 10 years, and back in those days, this was, I went to my first Al-Anon meeting on August 19th, 1977, and I haven't stopped. Mostly because, yeah, thank you, but